Of course, that is the great Miles Davis and Gil Evans. We went to break and came back from break with Gone from their album Porgy and Bess, because this album was recorded over four sessions in New York City, the last of which was on this day in 1958. This is a great collaboration between Miles Davis and Gil Evans, one of the great albums, and reinterpreted Porgy and Bess in ways that made a lot of sense to a lot of people when they heard it. So we share that with you. As we get to our conversation, I'll remind you that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you, and money comes back in the end. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. For more information, www.mecu.com or on our webpage at steinershow.org. The banner, MeQ Baltimore's Credit Union, is right there. We are switching gears now, and as I said, we'll be coming back to much more conversation about Ferguson in the days to come here on our program. We have been also covering the invasion into Gaza, and a lot has come out of those conversations over the past weeks. And one of the things we want to explore now, many people have said we need a two-state solution to bring peace and sense to what's going on between the Israelis and the Palestinians. And there are others who would argue, well, it's too late for that. We've gone beyond the time when a two-state solution is even viable. And then the arguments over the question of boycotting Israel that have also taken place. Right now, as I said, before we went on the air, one of my producers emailed me an article from The Guardian. As we speak, there is a protest of 3,000 people in Oakland who are protesting the arrival of an Israeli merchant ship, and that ship is not docked yet because of the demonstration in the port of Oakland. So all that is heating up, and we are joined here by phone by Alan Eisner, who is Vice President of Communications for J Street, which is an organization of liberal and progressive Jews in America who, are, for the most part, are Zionist and support Israel but do not support the occupation and what Israel is doing on the West Bank, and see a different vision for that country and as a community. And Zahi Kamas is with us, who is in studio. He's a Palestinian educator and an artist from Nazareth in the West Bank, and just came back from Nazareth in Palestine. And Zahi and Alan, good to have you both with us.
Just a correction, Mark.
Yeah.
Nazareth in the Galilee. So
in the Galilee. In the Galilee, yes.
In Israel.
Israel proper. Right, yeah. Right. I forgot. That's right. Glad you said that.
Yeah.
The lines are so weird, yeah. It's hard to know what place is where. 410-319-8888 is the number here. You can write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Talk at steinershow.org. You can tweet me at Mark Steiner. Log on to our Facebook places, 410-319-8888. So let's begin. I mean, we're watching all this going on right now, and there are negotiations taking place, or supposed to taking place in Cairo at the moment. Let me let you begin, because I think the popular notions of two-state, and I want Alan to talk about the two-state solution, where he thinks that is in the world today. But one of the things that pushed this was your wife writing and saying that this whole question the two of you have been talking about, that you think that we've gone beyond the ability to have a two-state solution.
I actually never believed that there is a two-state solution. I never thought that a two-state solution, meaning an Israel next to a Palestinian state, independent Palestinian state. First of all, I never thought I never believed that it will happen. And two, I never thought of it as a solution, because there are other factors that play in. For example, the question of Palestinian refugees. Right now, we're talking about 5 million Palestinian refugees, and the two-state solution doesn't really take these people who have suffered for the last 67 years now in exile, forced exile. So the two-state solution never really took them into account in a serious manner. 5 million Palestinians, that's almost half of the Palestinian people. And I couldn't possibly think of reaching a solution without addressing the right of return for these people. And another factor is I never thought that a Jewish state in Palestine was actually a sustainable state project without violence. Considering that within Israel, what we called Israel proper, and I put that between quotation mark, because there is no Israel proper, really, from at least from the perspective of the Palestinian people and from the perspective of the Arab peoples. Within that proper state, right now, there are 1.5 million Palestinians. To have a Jewish state would cause a lot of problems for that minority now, national minority.
And Alan Eiser, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us. And your thoughts on the two-state solution and the complexities.
First, thank you for having me.
Good to have you here.
Just a very brief correction. My name is Elsner. It's an often made mistake.
Oh, I said, I'm sorry. She said Eisner. I apologize. Go ahead.
It makes me kind of dismayed to hear statements that such as we've just heard, because it's going back all the way to partition in 1947 and the Arab and Palestinian vote against partition and the decision to try and destroy Israel. And it hasn't worked for the Palestinians, didn't work then, and it's not going to work now. Israel is there. It's the embodiment of the national aspirations of the Jewish people for their own homeland. And now we have to find a way to recognize the Palestinian aspirations for their homeland, and that's where the two-state solution comes in. What I'm hearing from my colleague there is this kind of wish that Israel either disappear or be destroyed. I don't think either one of them is going to happen, but it is a recipe for continued conflict, continued violence, continued suffering, continued death on both sides. So I wish we could just kind of get beyond that. There are ways to solve the refugee problem, and they need to be addressed in the peace process, and forming a Palestinian state and allowing Palestinians to return to that state, offering rehabilitation, financial compensation for those who don't want to return, is a perfectly viable way of solving that issue. But to just kind of try and blot out 65, 67 years of history and go back to the perfection of 1947 is just a fantasy.
So let me ask you this question in light of what Alan just said, we've had over 21 years now of debates on Israel-Palestine from every perspective humanly possible, within the Arab world, within the Jewish world, and in between the two and around. And it will always go back to 1948, and these vicious discussions take place as soon as you start talking about the war of liberation, the Nakba, and the countering views of what that meant. Nakba, for people who don't know, is how Palestinians look at this day of mourning, Palestinians being pushed out of their homes in 1948. So, but the reality is that Israel exists, that there are Jews from across the globe that live in that place called Israel. None of this actually came to the fore in a major way until the occupation. Yes, there was all kinds of conflict before, even leading up to 48 and after. But after 67 and the war for 67, when Israel colonized and took over the West Bank and Gaza and the Golan Heights, is when this thing really erupted in a much greater way for the Palestinian people, organized fashion. So, how do you turn the hands of time backwards? Is there a way we have to think about how we have to push it forward? I think is what Alan's questioning.
Yes. As a matter of fact, you cannot go forward without looking back and seeing where the grand, not error, but the grand injustice, and that happens to be 1948, the disposition of the Palestinian people. The forcing of more than 80% of the Palestinian people out of their homes, forceful homes, and violent forcing out into exile. That is the cause of the issue. If you want to move forward, you need to go backward and see where did things go wrong. And I have no problem with the idea of a safe place for the Jews. Everybody should have that safe place, every human being, not only Jews, but in particular Jews after the Second World War, after the experience, the Holocaust experience. Of course, Jews deserve to have a safe and a safe place where they are protected, but not at the expense of the Palestinian people. That's where the real issue lies. It's by establishing Israel. Of course, that was also a colonial project. It wasn't just a Jewish issue. Also, Britain and all the colonial powers were behind that. They had their own interest in creating a pariah state in the middle of the Arab world, in the most important region of the Arab world, that is Palestine. You cannot go. My hope is to move forward. The language about destroying Israel, that's not really what I'm thinking. We could talk about that.
Well, I want to get to this. So, Alan, let me ask you this question. So here we are in 2014, and there are settlements all through the West Bank. We see what's going on in Gaza at the moment. There are people in the Israeli parliament who are talking that the most right-wing people who are in the government talking that we should move all the Palestinians out of Gaza and retake it for the Jewish people, for the Israelis. And then there are all the issues about Jerusalem and about the aquifer and where the water comes from for most of Israel and for Palestine. Who runs that? And how do you neatly create a two-state solution? Or does something else have to be created that works because it's become so complex with the numbers of Israelis living on the West Bank and the 1.5 million Palestinians who live in Israel proper. So where do you begin that?
Well, first of all, I want to respond to what we just heard.
Okay.
I mean, Israel is not a pariah state. Israel is a state that is recognized by the vast majority of the world. It's a state in good standing at the United Nations. And, you know, the just use of that phrase, it has peace with Egypt and Jordan, which are the two major Arab countries, and there are other Arab states that have unofficial but in growing significance contacts with Israel. And Israel is actually the most successful state in the region. If you look around, you know, look at what's happening in Syria and Iraq, and look at the entire Arab world, you know, the only successful place is, in some ways, is Israel. And to say that Britain helped establish Israel is just a gross falsification of history. So again, it makes me tremendously sad to hear this kind of rhetoric, because we just cannot move forward unless we recognize each other's legitimacy. And I totally recognize the legitimacy of the Palestinian people and their need for justice and their need for self-determination. But I'm just not hearing it from the other side. So if that's going to be the conversation, it's a very arid conversation. I have not heard even the most right-wing, and we oppose the right-wing and the settler movement, but I have not heard anybody talk about clearing out Gaza, and that's just an absurdity. And in fact, the government, when you talked about an invasion of Gaza, there was an incursion a few miles inside the border, and we can argue about whether that was legitimate or not legitimate. The idea was to find these tunnels which lead under the border into Israel and were designed to attack and kill Israeli civilians. Any discussion in the Israeli cabinet of going all the way into Gaza, the government clearly decided not to do that. So with all the tragic the tragic civilian casualties that we've seen, let's recognize that it could have been an awful lot worse. And now we have to move forward. You know, we can spend this half hour and hours and hours, and we've already spent hours and hours and hours, and in my life probably it amounts to probably years, discussing the past and what happened and who was wrong and who was more unjustly treated and who had the most martyrs and who was the most wronged. And it's just, I'm just kind of tired and fed up of that discussion. We've got to find a way to get these sides back to the negotiating table to discuss the only solution that anyone has ever put on the table that promises to end that conflict, which is the two-state solution.
Well, go ahead.
Can I respond? This is really, when we talk about, he's talking about falsification of history. I think Elsner is himself falsifying history, because First of all, you cannot deny me as a Palestinian. You cannot deny the Palestinian people to write their own history. You cannot deny us. So our history, the way we see it, just in general terms, that the Zionists came to Palestine against our will. We are the indigenous people of that land. Among us, there were many Jews, a minority. I come myself from a Christian minority, Christian Palestinian minority, and we lived over centuries rather harmoniously in that land, in that holy land. So we look at our own history and we see that Israel was the only country, the only institution that is responsible for our tragedy that has been going on for 66 years. And this Palestinian tragedy, when we talk about it, we're not talking about some abstract concept. We're talking about the most recent symptom of that tragedy, what Israel means to Palestinians, what Israel just did in Gaza, killing over 2,000 Palestinians. 82% of them are civilians, innocent civilians, targeting the Palestinian water system, the Palestinian sewage system, schools, killing children. And yes, there are voices in Israel who call for the washing of Gaza and the cleansing of Gaza. But it's all hidden in Netanyahu's language, who's the prime minister now. We just want to disarm Hamas. In Gaza, there are people, there are close to 2 million Palestinians with other forces, other political forces, who are resisting the Israeli occupation. And mind you, go backward, Gaza only in the last 6 years... Give me just one second.
We have a real time.
The last 6 years, Gaza suffered the grinding, violent machinery, Israeli machinery. In 2008, Israel killed 1,500 Palestinians in Gaza. 500 of them are children.
Let me just throw in here, and Alan, let me just start for a minute and then come back in the little bit of time we have left. So the question I have for the both of you is, I mean, is then where do we go? I mean, when you look, you can argue about the South African ending of apartheid and what happened in Northern Ireland between British and the Irish in Northern Ireland, mm-hmm. as being inadequate. You can argue whether it was right or wrong how it was done, but it was done with the reality that, for as much as they were disliked, that the Boers of South Africa remain in South Africa, the English remain in South Africa, they're part of a nation, and that they're trying to find reconciliation in Northern Ireland as well as still part of Great Britain. So and many people have looked at those two examples and say that in the Holy Land that a response has to happen that is a realistic response given who lives there now and what's going to happen. And that things are so intermeshed, it's difficult to move them apart. So the question is, how does that happen? I mean, and what is a solution for the future? Well, we can't move to the future without understanding history, but my guess is that we will always argue about what that history means from different perspectives. So let me go to Alan, because we only have like 3 or 4 minutes left, so I want to get your closing thoughts on this. Alan and Zahi.
Well, we continue to believe at Jay Street that the two-state solution is the only viable way to end this conflict, and that would end the occupation and would give the Palestinians a state of their own in which to build their future, and then it would be up to them to build a positive, constructive state that could prosper, that could live at peace in good neighborhood, that could really secure the region and jettison the kind of hatreds of the past and move forward. If every people in the world went through accumulated list of their historical injustices that were done to them and then tried to seek redress, it's really not about seeking redress. It's about getting to a position where both sides are better off than they are now. If we just come with a list of grievances, we will never get anywhere. I totally recognize you have the right to write your own history and that's fine, but if you let that kind of sense of grievance and quite frankly hatred govern your steps going forward, then we will never get anywhere. And I do think that the onus is on Israel as a more powerful country to come with an outstretched arm, hand, and with a generous offer, and to get to sincere negotiations that are conducted with goodwill on both sides, and to get this problem solved. But it obviously is not going to be easy, because there's such an accumulation of resentment, hatred, distrust on both sides.
Can I get a minute?
Literally a minute, I hear, because we're out of time.
We have 1 minute left. First of all, I'm not driven by hatred, but here's what I'm driven by. I'm actually driven by the future. Hope for a future solution, a just solution for the Palestinian people and for the Jewish people in Palestine and outside Palestine. We are all implicated in this, whether we are in Palestine, and I'm talking we, and I'm talking about Jews and Palestinians, and maybe many others. What I see as a solution that is not a racist solution, is not based on separation of people, is what I believe is that young Jews and Palestinians need to come together and need to see that we are entangled with each other in Palestine and here. And we need to talk about maybe start studying the one-state solution for both people to live in peace and to feel safe there, to be protected by civil, secular law. And I think it's possible. I think it's possible. I think what we need to do is we need to come together, Jews and Palestinians, maybe here in exile, maybe here in America, maybe here in Baltimore, bring young people and have them look at the possibility of a one-state solution that doesn't exclude anyone, that doesn't create new problems, but resolves and allows for reconciliation. Why not? Why can't we come up with a liberational vision for both of our people in that one land where that will guarantee the rights of all of us? Why not?
We need to come back for a much longer segment where we have people around the table can talk for a longer period of time, not truncated as we had today. I apologize for that. But Vice President of Communication of J Street, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate the work of J Street. Zahi Hamas, a policy and educator and artist from Nazareth. Good to have you here as well.
Thank you, Mark.
And Baltimore.
Thank you, Mark.
And we're going to come back to this. Clearly, I think this is just the beginning of a conversation that we need to have. We've been having for the last 21 years here on The Mark Steiner Show. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineers are Andre Melton. Our interns are Alex Boston, Maggie Dyer, Sienna Reeves, and Sam Saper. Sienna and Sam working every day here. Good to have them both with us, and they're doing a great job for us here on The Mark Steiner Show. To hear the show again, podcast, any of our past shows, visit us on the web at steinershow.org. You can also listen to and download our podcast on iTunes. And for public radio, WEAA, 88.9 FM, celebrating the 88 days of summer, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. We're going out with a happy day. Edwin Hawkins was born on this day in 1943. The song was released in 1968, sold 7 million copies worldwide. One of my favorites. Thank you so much.